Fantasy Focus Football is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico today and see all the ways that you could save.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It is, at least while this time, what the chat is taking place, Monday, July 11th, 2022. Yeah. Field, Matthew, Stefania, Daniel here in the
house. Whole gang is back.
For a show that I did not think we'd ever have. And for a lot of reasons, we're going to get right into it in just a moment here. But the show will be about you, Matthew, as you have some news to share that pertains to your present and future.
This is my last show. This is my last show at ESPN. This is my last week at the company. It is as amicable a parting as I think these things can be. As you know, at this point, you may have seen the statement from ESPN where they, basically I had some opportunities beyond ESPN. Mm-hmm. ESPN and I talked about it, and they've decided to let me explore them. And so I leave here with, you know, love in my heart. And look, this is going to be an emotional show. But I'll just say this. I'm incredibly grateful to ESPN for allowing me to do a last show. Like, a lot of people don't get a last show, you know, whether it's at ESPN or other places. And so just the fact, I mean, hopefully that shows everyone that this is, I'm leaving ESPN with hugs and handshakes, not, you know, nothing else. And so, you know, it's been an amazing 15-year run, and we're going to talk a lot about it, but listen, I love you guys. I love the Fantasy Show. I wanted to wear this shirt. For people that are just listening to the audio, I'm wearing a shirt that says The Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry, a little homage to me and Daniel and all the puppets. We're not getting to do a last episode of that show, but that and Fantasy Football Now and all the readers of Love Hate. And it's, you know, it's been an amazing, incredible 15 years. I am sad. I'm truly going to miss everyone here, all the people that I work with, and yeah, I mean, I'm filled with every emotion possible, but this is my last show.
We're going to find a way through
for ESPN,
show.
I should say. I'm not retiring and I'm not dead, but this is my just to confirm both statements.
People are like, you're pretty old, so retirement really makes sense.
Everyone, right, exactly. If anyone watches the Fantasy Show, they know Waverman constantly talks about how decrepit and old I am.
Yeah.
But there will be other shows in my future, but this is the last episode that I'm going to be on for Fantasy Focus and the last thing I'm doing for ESPN, and it's bittersweet. I'm excited about the future, but it's been an amazing 15 years, and I'm thrilled and grateful and thankful to ESPN and to all of you for allowing me to do it.
A lot of emotions obviously flowing through all of us today, and we want to make sure that today is about you at its core. I don't know exactly how we're going to get through this. We have a little bit of a rundown here. We'll see whether we follow it true to form or not. I think there's always, I'd say, like, you know, I always find myself making analogies between real world and sports.
Yeah.
And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. I think in this case, though, I was thinking about it, you know, and if you're listening to this by now, you've probably, as you said, read the statement from ESPN. To me, it's like, you know, sometimes in sports and in the sport we love the most, the NFL, like the NFL retires you or you decide to retire. You're not retiring, right?
Correct.
But like, you're moving on to the next phase of your life and doing so, you know, the proverbial riding off into the sunset from ESPN, as opposed to having, you know, you're more John Elway than Brett Favre, so to speak, right now, yeah, as far as retirement goes, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, and not that I'm comparing myself to him in any way, shape, or form, but, you know, I sort of had a panic attack sometime this week. I can't believe I'm, yeah, I mean, probably many, but, you know, oh my God, I can't believe I'm leaving ESPN. I can't believe I'm leaving ESPN Fantasy, you know, which has been my home and my family for the last 15 years. And then I'm like, oh, you know what? Tom Brady left the Patriots. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, I'm not calling myself Tom Brady, but I'm just saying, like, if you think about, we're in the world of sports, right? And name a player and a team that are more symbiotic and more, you know, and so, like, my point is like, that's the pinnacle, right? I mean, that's the NFL franchise over the last two decades that has set the standard for the NFL, and Tom has obviously set the standard for player performance. And so if those two can, you know, if Tom Brady can leave the Patriots, then anyone can leave anywhere else. And so I don't know why that thought made me feel okay, but it made me feel okay. And like I said, it's bittersweet because it is my choice, but it doesn't mean that I don't love this place and that I don't love you guys and that I'm not going to miss this place.
Tom Brady threw a pick six on his very last play as a Patriot. So, so a parting gift needs to be like your worst take for the upcoming season.
I actually was going
to
say, you know, Tom Brady's really good on TikTok. So yeah. Maybe you're not the same.
We're not the same. And he's he also looks 20 years younger than he is. I look 20 years older than I actually am. You know, I mean, like,
you know. He didn't have a puppet show.
He didn't have a puppet show. He doesn't have a puppet show. But yes, he's better on social media than me. He's better looking than me. He's more famous than me. He's more successful than me. He's a better athlete than me. Like, I don't have much on. I don't think I have anything on Tom Brady.
There are a couple things. I can't think of them right now, but I'm sure there's a couple.
I'm sure there's something. I have more kids than Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah. More kids than Tom Brady.
Good point. Yeah, you get the edge. 5-3.
Yeah, 5-3. I'm up 5-3 on Tom. But anyway, so one thing I will say though is we're talking about this. Me and Daniel were talking about this yesterday, and so it is my final show, and we're like sort of like, okay, well, what's a final show? How do you do? Like, how do? Because like, should it be like the Newhart final show where we all wake up and like, oh, it's a bad dream, right. Or like, should we go like do like a Game of Thrones final show where it just really stinks and everyone hates it?
Yeah,
you know, like the last show of a love series. Seinfeld's last show, where basically the four stars didn't do anything. It was just every guest star.
Yep.
So we just have like Erica Hutchinson come on and like, you know, and Nat Coombs and like just.
I kind of like doing Lost because I feel like they all woke up confused at what they've just done for the last right. like 7 years of that show. Right. And it's like that feels like no me in the show. Why not Sopranos, Matthew? We haven't talked about ending the Sopranos way. Do you not want to go out like that?
Well, you don't see it coming. So oh, I don't know. Go. We got an hour to go.
All of a sudden,
that's
it's
the
just
whole
like,
thing. Psh. Right, exactly. It just fades to black.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So,
spoiler alert in case you haven't watched The Sopranos yet.
Yeah. Oh, say,
it's been over 20 years at this point.
Well, is there a way to like drop a post roll into this or Jackson just say like pause if you have any interest in The Sopranos and haven't seen it yet, like the next 45 seconds?
Go back and watch it.
Yeah, work on that. Yeah. So it is. I mean, you never plan for a final show and you never necessarily know exactly what you're supposed to do. There's no playbook for these kind of occasions. And
it's super weird. I'm going through every emotion. I can't even describe. It's super weird, and it doesn't feel totally real yet.
Yeah,
like I'm at peace with it, and I'm good, and I'm happy, and I'm excited, but I'm also like I'm sad, and like, and I think when I see you guys doing the fantasy football marathon, it's going to hit me, and I'll be like, oh God, what have I done? Yeah. You know, like no, I look. It's
no, you listen. Yeah. You, whatever your opportunities are that are next, and it's something that we've all been more focused on celebrating.
Yeah.
This chapter of your career than we have been sort of focusing in on the next chapter of your career. We all know, and we're going to get to this more and more as the show develops, that like whoever lands Matthew Berry next has not landed a fantasy football analyst. They have landed the fantasy football analyst. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about more just how one of a kind you are. And I think maybe we should start with some of our favorite moments along the way.
Yeah.
And then we'll get into maybe try to as best we can keep it together, maybe some of the emotional side at the end of the show. And I think it would only be fair on a day like today to also relive some of your best moments. And I think that part of what makes you is that any topic is susceptible to an epic rant.
Yeah,
something that no one saw coming, whether it's about the number one player in fantasy football or a player who couldn't get you even 1 yard.
So Eric Branch, who does a great job covering the 49ers for the San Francisco Chronicle, wrote this in the San Francisco Chronicle, quote, "After he initially was termed doubtful to play Monday by head coach Kyle Shanahan," again, Eric covers the 49ers, has done it for a number of years for the Chronicle. "After he was initially termed doubtful to play Monday by head coach Kyle Shanahan, 49ers running back Matt Breida played against the Packers with his problematic leg and was part of a strong first half rushing attack. Breida capped a game-opening drive with a 3-yard touchdown run, had 37 yards on 8 first-half carries, and teamed with surprise backup Raheem Mostert to headline a ground game that 114 yards and averaged 7.1 yards per carry in the first quarter. Breida, who finished the game with 61 yards on 14 carries, officially was questionable to play. And the little-used Mostert seemed unlikely to have much of a role after he lost a fumble in a 5-carry, 11-yard performance in Week 5. So Raheem Mostert, off of a 5-carry, 11-yard fumble performance from the week before, gets all this run, and Alfred Morris, who was listed as the starter the entire week, Alfred Morris, who had led the team in red zone touches, even when Breida was going off, Alfred Morris was the guy that had the most touches in the red zone. He actually was out snapping Matt Breida. Matt Breida was more effective, but Alfred Morris was the guy that actually was getting more run, was getting more red zone looks coming to this game. And you know what? Some people, and by some people, I mean me, this guy was down by 9.9 points Literally, I needed 1 point from Alfred Morris. One stupid point. One stupid point in a league in which I've lost five straight by less than 3 points. I lost 2 weeks ago to the guy that started Mitch Trubisky against me. Six touchdowns, I lost by 3 points to a guy that had a six-touchdown quarterback. And so here I am in a league with Sony Michel and James White and Carson Wentz. It's an unbelievable team. It's a team that crushes it. Christian McCaffrey. I dominated this draft. And I need one stupid point because the guy against me starts Tyrell Williams. Who starts Tyrell Williams? But this guy does. Because he doesn't know what he's doing. But yet here he is. He's up 0.9. I need 1 point, one stupid point from Alfred Morris. And do I get that point? I don't get that point. I don't get that point. It's 1 point. It's one stupid point. He actually gets it because this league gets you points for first downs. So he got one snap and he got an 8-yard carry and he converts the first down. I win. But no, of course, because you know what happens? The 49ers have a holding penalty and it gets called back and it's its only snap. And so I tell you what, Kyle Shanahan, that's karma. That is karma right there. That's why you guys lost.
So you did not win that matchup.
I did not win that matchup. I'm praying for a stat correction. It's the most frustrating loss. I've been playing fantasy sports for 30 years, and it is the most frustrating loss I've ever had in my life. 1 point. I needed 1 point from a guy that had come off a 12 carry, his best game of the season, 15 touches the week before, and he doesn't get it for a guy that fumbled last week, 5 for 11. Are you kidding me?
I got to say, Matthew, a stat correction is probably going to be tough on a 0 carry for 0 yard performance. But,
that felt good to get out.
I'm actually really proud of you for letting all of us keep our jobs while you still keep your job and you got everything out at the same time.
You didn't curse one time.
Thank
That's
you
impressive.
For not making my job harder, man.
Yeah, that was good.
I still have a welcome is streak. Is the Twitter live feed still on or no?
Twitter live feed is still on, and okay. They are loving it. I got to be honest, they are loving it.
I went on a little bit of this rant on Twitter last night, and people were like, you know, hey, some people said, hey, it's good to know you're still one of us. Like, I think sometimes people think like, oh, whatever, I'm ESPN senior fantasy analyst or whatever, and I don't care. But I care. Megan, I care. I'm in 12 leagues. I care about every single league. I care about every single match. And like this specific league that I'm talking about drives me nuts. I have a good team even despite the fact that Le'Veon Bell hasn't showed up. And I was like, well, this is finally my week. You know what I mean? Like, and it's mind numbing. Raheem Mostert, every beat writer, like Matt Barrows, who covers the team for The Athletic and does a good job for them as well. He's covered the team for a number of years, very respected beat writer. He apologized on Twitter saying, I'm sorry. He recommended to people saying, like, if you're in fantasy, I would start Alfred Morris. The guys that practice every day. Matt Breida had one limited practice. Kyle Shanahan literally called him doubtful. It serves him right. And I swear to God, I think that is karma. That's why they lost that game, because it's karma. You think I'm wrong? I don't know, because they should have won that game and they didn't. I'm just telling you. Sorry, I wish Stefania were here.
There you go.
What a way to end it.
I wish Stefania were here.
All right, thank you. That's the end of the show.
Good night. Better than that?
We're done.
Wow.
You know what's ironic is, so that league that I'm talking about, because you were laughing during the clip about like Sony Michel and James White, like, so that was Scott Fishbowl.
Yeah.
Scott Fishbowl, and today, July 11th, is the first day of Scott Fishbowl 12.
Amazing job they do. Yeah. Scott does.
Right, but it's a crazy deep league, right? Like that, because there's no trading, and it's like it's 12-team leagues, and you know, it's super flex, and so... Yeah, I had a very good team that year, and just I could not every week, like, I lost by
right.
Like,
it's hilarious
2 points.
To me that you're like, of all the leagues to get fired up about, like Scott Fishbowl, Scott is 1 in 1,200 teams.
Well, it's because I'd had like five of these, you know, narrow losses in a row, like by 1 point, 2 points.
That's
like
good
again,
content.
Like I lost 3 by 3 points to a guy that had a 6-touchdown quarterback game. Like, you know, you expect to be blown out and.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, Kyle Shanahan's still doing it to us. Alfred Morris, that comes up all the time. People still say, like, 1 point for Alfred Morris.
Is he in cameo, Alfred Morris? Because if he is, I know what I'm getting you as a partner. Right? Yeah.
Someone should do that. Yeah.
All right. So we figured
I don't know if Alfred Morris is, but I probably am. Listen, I'm going to need a gig soon, right? So I'm probably going to a cameo.
Future for you.
I'm sure. So there you go.
It would be impossible.
Yeah.
Over 15 years of your tenure at ESPN and what this 14 years on the Fantasy Focus, and for some of us it's been a long, you know, Daniel joined, and then I joined at later dates. So it's hard to whittle this down to just 100 moments, much less 10 moments, much less 1 moment. But we thought we'd all share a memory, just a poignant memory from our time together on the show. And in many cases, it's either on the show or as far away from the show as possible. I figured we'd go around the room and just sort of relive some of the great memories we made along the way.
Yeah. In case it's not clear by now, we're not talking football today. No. By the way, I want to give a heads up to anyone that tuned in thinking we might be talking a couple of sleepers. Like, that'll be next week with Field and Stefania and Daniel and Mike and everyone, the whole crew. But today's nonsense.
Yeah. So one thing that's been cool, and I'll start, one thing that's been cool for me is when I started this show, I think, what, 6-7 years now, like, I was a single, unmarried, not dad dude, right? Yeah. I came here as just, I don't know, I was sort of finding my way in life. And now I am, you know, married. I think as many people listening to the show know, I now recently became a father, and, you know, we are so happy. It's so grateful. I live in Connecticut now, right? I was a bachelor in Boston when we first started.
By the way,
the
four
show.
To go. Yeah. We have one daughter before to go.
No, I want to surpass you. I want to be both better than both you and
Brady.
That's
absolutely fine.
No big deal. Hopefully.
Heads up, Chapin. Yeah. Heads up.
She might have something to say about it.
She may want to get to like 7, but we'll see. Okay. So I hear bills get expensive soon enough. But it's been really cool to sort of live this journey, well, also a personal journey. And we've had so much fun together over the years, both on the show and off the show. But I think the first opportunity for you and I to socialize with each of our wives was when we went to a Buffett show up at the House of Blues in Boston. For those watching the video, the picture is screening right now, right across the street. I mean, right across the screen.
That was the start of the night, right, Field?
That was absolutely the start of the night, Daniel. And you can tell because we're actually dressed. We actually have shirts on at this point of the evening. Which
are there
the
pictures
of
the
night,
end?
I'm not sure there are pictures of the end. I hope there aren't. But I'm not sure we had shirts on by the end of the night. And I'm not sure that, like, what songs did you play that night? Because I don't have much of a memory of it.
Didn't you guys do a show the next day?
I think we did a show from Matthew's Hotel.
Right.
I think we were supposed to do one. Whether we did or not, it's a different question.
I think you did.
I remember at some point, Matthew, I had to like drive you from one place to another the next morning. And neither one of us felt particularly great.
No.
But what was
We got know, hammered that night.
Yeah.
Phil was tiptoeing around it, and Matthew's just like, we got hammered.
Yeah.
Hammered. Yeah. Listen, what are they going to do? Fire me? Like, I'm out the door already. Exactly.
But, you know, I think it's reflective. First of all, the night was hilarious and it was so fun. And one thing that's cool about being a part of this family is that when you're out and about, especially do live shows, but even just in public, right? Like, it's fun to see the appreciation of fans near and far because there's
so many people. Look at this.
What?
That's the end of the night right there.
That's in like a staircase right there.
Yeah.
Are we even looking at the camera correctly?
Yes, that looks like the next day. We've both had a few.
Yeah. Field took his shirt off and I thankfully did not. Like, because no one wants to see me with my shirt off, and you definitely don't want to see me with my shirt off next to Field with his shirt off.
I believe you used the word doughy at the time to describe
yourself. Yeah, this is before dad bods were in. I mean, I knew dad bods were going to come in, right. So I was working on my dad bod at the moment, but it was not. Yeah, doughy is a good adjective for what I look like then and now.
It was so fun to spend that time together, and it was a start of a friendship for not just, you know, for me spending more time with your wife, Beth, and then also Chapin and you, but of course, Chapin and Beth becoming closer friends. And you know, you guys were at my wedding or our wedding, Chapin's wedding. If we're gonna
some
pick
people
one
say,
or the other.
Some people say, not me. Yeah. I do not saying this, but some people say that my wife Beth and I
were the MVPs,
of that wedding.
Friends to this day that talk about it. And what I loved, and I know I'm supposed to make this one memory, but what I loved about what you guys did when you came to our wedding, and I'll lump Stefania into this as well, because like you go to a wedding, we're on Nantucket. It's a little bit of a trek for people, especially coming from Connecticut. It's not the easiest place to get to. Is that like you either attend a wedding? Or you dive into a wedding.
Right.
And you guys were there and you were like, listen, we got about 48 hours of time here on this island. We are going to waste 0 seconds of it. And again, some of them are hazy, but we have so many memories from that weekend. And I remember we're like, you know, Friday night things were like kind of winding down after the welcome party. And Matthew's like, shots? And we're like, what? What shots? Shots of what? What do you shots? I'm like,
it's a wedding weekend, Phil. Come on.
It's a wedding weekend.
That's right.
Yes. So I woke up. I think you're supposed to wake up feeling good on your wedding day. Didn't happen for me. And it's your fault.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. I take full.
You feel bad about it?
I don't.
No,
okay. I don't.
Not at all.
It was an it was an absolutely epic wedding, and you know, for me, it was a lot of fun, and your friends were great, and I really enjoyed it, and it was good because Stefania kept stealing Beth away,
right?
Yes,
and
well,
so you know, which you always do. And so I look out on the dance floor, and there's Stefania and Beth.
Yeah. Like, make no mistake, Beth's like, help me out.
Of course, I'm sure, of course. You know, and so, right.
I'd look, where, from getting
where's my wife?
The dance floor.
Oh, at the bar with Stefania, ordering another glass of wine. Okay, got it. Yeah.
So anyways, I'll shut up for now. Stefania, anything? I mean, you've got many memories with Matthew, obviously.
14 years together. Yep. And
every day.
I know. I mean, I was trying to figure out where I should go with this. And the one thing I think about is people often associate us by our nicknames from the show,
sure.
Right? I mean, that's people when they come to the live shows, you know, when they're chiming in, when they would see us in the street, it's the nicknames. And you've come up with several
true.
Over the years, some that I like, some that I don't care for as much. But I think the one that's my favorite that has stuck with me the most is Starfania.
Sure, right? Of course. I would think so. I would hope so. Because it's true. She is. She's Starfania Bell.
So anybody who's been listening to the show for a while knows that when we go out and about, Matthew will often, you know, embellish the Starfania character as if, you know, I get special treatment when
she
I'm out
does
about,
you have no idea,
because really this is the star, but we roll with it.
Hang
right?
on, I just want to, let me hang on for 1 second. Just be very clear about this. So tomorrow, which is a work day, and you are what? You are on a plane to the West Coast. She's on. Listen, Starfania Bell tomorrow. You know, tomorrow, Starfania Bell is on a plane to the West Coast. Mm. Tomorrow, I'm cleaning out my office. Wow. So, like, I mean, you know, like, just in terms of like where we are.
Fair. But in any event, when I was thinking about a memory to come up with, I was thinking this is exactly the kind of thing that Matthew would love to tell a tale about. That if I got some royal treatment that he did not. And so I thought about this one time, when we were invited to the upfronts, the big when the company does in New York City, and they sort of preview what's to come. And
for advertisers, it's a big advertising
day. Yeah. And so Matthew and I were very excited to be invited to participate in the upfronts. And from the session, we had like a practice session or something. I don't remember the details, but we were going from there to a luncheon. So we had a car come to pick us up because they don't want you to get lost when you're there because you're on a schedule. So, you know, they have a car that comes to get us.
A lot of important service. ESPN sent a car service for
right.
us.
So when the car pulls up, there's a sign on the window that says Stefania Bell.
Stefania Bell. And then underneath it, it says also riding. Matthew Berry.
Right. And ESPN sales rep, Christina Carista.
So for the rest of the day... Yeah. I was Stefania, and he was also writing.
That's
and
me.
That is- Dude, that's so good.
Yeah. Also writing, and then right.
Oh.
Yeah.
So and then funny.
Can,
oh, man.
And then it says, look, if you're watching the show, you can see it. It says Stefania Bell also writing, smaller print, Matthew Berry, and ESPN sales rep Christina Carista. We're going to a bar, gives her address, and then it says, then after lunch, final dropped, Stefania only. Only Stefania. Yeah. Only
gets Stefania to and from.
Right, gets the to and from. I'm like, I think they threw a couple of subway tokens at me and said, good luck.
Yes.
Once I was
those
done.
I actually like that they had my, it's a bigger font.
It's a bigger font.
Stefania Bell, and then there's Matthew Berry below. And, you know, that, then I totally
I was outraged.
Stefania after that.
totally Stefania. I'm like, how am I also writing?
You spoke Stefania into an existence right there. That's exactly what happened.
I just, like, I couldn't believe, like, I understand if her name's bigger or her name is ahead of mine, or like it's just sort of like it's just such a like whoever printed that up is like who, you know, this card is for Stefania Bell also writing Matthew Berry. So like, just in case this homeless guy tries to bump, it's actually, believe it or not,
it's
just one
Matthew
of our
low
level ESPN talent that we're letting him. I think I got to go in the trunk. I think that
stop,
was how it was.
It.
I think
Stefania and the three assistants were in the back, and then you had to be in the trunk.
100%.
The three Britneys.
The three Britneys. I missed the three Britneys. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Starfania Bell. Exactly. Boondoggling her way. through ESPN.
That's amazing.
How about you, Daniel? Anything
so,
that comes to mind?
I just want to ask specifically Field, you and
I just like that Stefania's memory that was supposed to be about me. It was really about her getting star treatment.
I wasn't going to say it, but I was like, this is so good.
You know, we had 14 years together. 14 years together, and it's just like, oh, I remember when you did this nice thing or this funny thing, or even when I met Beth and I've developed this great friendship with your wife. No, it's just like, remember that time where ESPN said I was so much more important than you? That was awesome.
That was great.
Remember how great that was?
I think what it's showing is how you created a character and it stuck.
Yes, that's what it is.
That's what it is. Yes.
I do want to ask Stefania.
Daniel, do you also have a memory about Stefania on my final show?
I don't. But to you two, I'm just curious, Matthew Berry leaving ESPN, is that news or noise to you guys? Wow. As the creators of that segment, I was just curious.
Do we have to be honest or no?
No, I have one. For me, Matthew, I remember one time where... A lot of people don't know this, but I keep your IFB with me, the thing that you wear in your ear so that we can talk to you.
Yes.
I keep it with me and bring it to the studio. Yeah, you'll lose it. And so I always have it. I make sure that you have it before the show.
Yep.
One of the times I didn't have it, so I had to give you a backup.
Right.
And the next morning I came in and I was like, hey, I have your regular IFB. Sorry, I left it at home. And I proceeded to tell you that what happened was my dog Winston actually ate your IFB the day before. And he pooped it out that morning.
Yeah.
And I let you know live on air. And I was like, don't worry about it. I ran it through the dishwasher. It disinfected everything you can hear out of it. So you know it still works. Everything's fine. And I told you all of this like while we were live on the show. And you were like, did you seriously?
IFB in my ear. I had Winston's dog pooped
IFB
in my ear.
In your ear.
Yeah,
but I didn't actually do it. But I didn't tell you that. It was just a joke. It was actually a real clean IFB.
I mean, now's the time to come clean. Like if ever there's a time to admit all secrets, you know. No, I didn't put it through the dishwasher.
You're asking, what can ESPN do to you? That's a different question from what can you do to Daniel? Right? Like, hey, you step off this campus, you're no longer live. Like, hey,
That's a good point. That's a good point. I'm a free man. Yeah.
I got two more really quick. Yeah. One of the ones that I really loved was our fans are just unbelievable. We're going to talk about them in a second. But I loved Monday Night Football. I remember being able to watch a hashtag 06010 sign that someone was being able to show through the uprights when you were watching. They were kicking field goals.
Awesome. Yeah.
So cool just to be able to see that while we're watching Monday Night Football to see our podcast represented was amazing. And on top of that, all of you guys know I'm a music person. All of the music, Eric Hutchinson did two different theme songs for this show, which is unbelievable. And I want to say thank you to him. And Kit and Chip wrote theme songs for all of us. Matthew, you included.
Yeah.
And
hang on for 1 second. Before you get to Ken Chip, I just want to talk about Eric Hutchinson for 1 second.
Yeah.
So Eric Hutchinson was a guy that just was a fan of our show for a long time, and he had just signed a record deal. And this is way back in the day, and he had like one hit, I want to say in Germany. It was like Germany or Australia or something like that. Like he had just started, but he'd like had one song that had charted, I want to say in Germany, but it might have been Australia or whatever. So we'll call it Germany. And so, but we decided right then and there, so international recording superstar Eric Hutchinson, because he had one hit.
So that's where it came from.
Because we're like, well, you know, because people at that point, Eric's done really well for himself now, and he's fantastic and he's great live, and we've seen him live and we love Hutch. Mm-hmm. But at that point, he was just starting his career, so he wasn't as well known, but he did have this one hit in one country. So we're like, international recording superstar Eric Hutchinson, and he wrote us a couple of different theme songs over the years.
Super nice guy too. Every time
nice
I work
great.
With him, love
and,
him.
And I think when we did our last, I think when Nate did his last show with us, he came in and played live.
He did.
He played the theme song live, and so that was. That was great. So we love Hutch. But anyway, Kit and Chip are also...
They did a bunch of theme songs for us. And one of the things that I wanted to be able to do was just be able to play your theme song one more time, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, so not everyone else's theme song will have other opportunities to be played.
Yes, but your theme song will live and die here. So I wanted to play it one more time.
Can I hire somebody to follow me around with it?
Probably.
Can I hire an intern to like
what's that movie with the...
Say Anything with
Lloyd Dobler.
There
you go. Yep.
Yeah, Say Anything. Holding the
boombox right above it.
I'm going to miss that part.
You've never seen Say Anything?
Oh my gosh.
Of course not.
What am I going to do without somebody who knows the movies I do? Like, you are it.
I'm a kickboxer sport of the future. I don't want to process anything that's fried.
Where's
Kyle
right
that's processed.
Now? Wow. Bring Kyle. And Kyle is my demo. Kyle and I can bounce off each other.
Matthew, what am I going to do?
How have you never seen Say Anything? I'm just going
to
tell. Listen, it is an older movie, but for the kids out there, and by kids, I mean people like Field's age. Say Anything and Better Off Dead are two classics that you need to see.
Gotta go check them out.
John Cusack, just young John Cusack.
Yeah. Like, absolutely. But, all right.
Say Anything.
I want to throw it here to Matthew's theme song from Kit and Chip. Just because it's been a while since we played, right. I want to play it one more
Not
time.
Not a crappy band.
That's right.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Hainsworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, portaling away again in Matthew Berryville, searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.
Ah!
Oh! 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 We got more!
We got more at the end, too. We were supposed to see. No big deal. No big deal.
So Daniel referenced it just a minute ago, but really what makes the show is certainly the people on it, and no one has been more responsible for this than you, Matthew, over the years. But a show's validation is the form, it comes in the form of the fans. And I can't imagine a more loyal fan base than the people that have listened to the 06010, and hopefully will continue to listen to the 06010 going forward here. But we've had so many memorable moments with the fans along the way, Daniel. That has included, Matthew, I mean, you have officiated weddings.
Uh-huh.
You've been part of engagements.
Yes.
You have, I think there was, how many people have been named Matthew specifically after you?
Maddie, because he always wanted the girls to be named Maddie.
Yep.
Yeah. So think about like the endless, or these ties that will last for literally a lifetime with the fans.
And we went to a live show. So yeah, I was at a wedding officiant.
Yeah.
For a couple that got engaged on our air,
yeah,
and had me out to California. And then I was also a wedding, and based on how successful that was, and here we see it at our live show.
Yeah.
This is that Boston live show.
Yeah. Yep.
And
proposal?
They proposed
right
live
there?
In front of us.
Yeah.
Oh, we gave that couple a years worth of Blue Apron based on a bit that you and Field were
doing
for the way. Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly, here's a great 06010 trivia question. I wish Thirsty Kyle were here because he always loves the trivia. Do you remember the player?
Terrell Pryor.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Blue Apron was based on Terrell Pryor. Yeah. We were talking him up as a sleeper the 1 year he was going to play some quarterback for the Browns.
So he ended up having 12 fantasy points for the entire season.
We had this huge fight over him.
Wasn't that like you said you had a year?
Pay off the bet.
We did. I did pay that off, though. You got the year.
Yeah, but you were taking
it. Took a year.
It took a while.
That's why it went in Kit and Chip's song. You have a year to pay off.
You paid it off, and it was wonderful. I profited greatly off of that deal.
You definitely made out better than I did with Terrell Pryor's production from that fantasy year. 1,000%. I also love they had the... In the song, Kit and Chip, they mentioned the fact that, your shoe, that was Field's missing shoe, because Field had one shoe in my office for an entire year.
Uh-huh.
And for a full year, would not come get that shoe.
Hold on. You completely misremembered the story.
Have I?
Shocking.
Yes. Happened was, you're over, back when we used to come into the office every single day,
right.
You spent a lot of time in the office, you and Stefania were very close to each other with your offices.
Correct.
And we had either a fantasy summit or something that brought a ton of us down to that floor of the building that your offices were in. And at one point, I went in to your office, and I had a pair of dress shoes that I was going to wear for television later on in the day.
Right.
And I had them in my hands, and at some point, I put them down. And on the way out, either grabbed just one or thought I put them in a bag. But anyways, I walked away with one.
Right.
So the next day, we're sitting here in the studio waiting for this show to start again. And I made a reference to how, I only have one shoe. I can't believe I lost them. I have to go buy a new pair of dress shoes, and hopefully I can just find, the exact same pair. I really like them. And we're all sitting here talking about it. And Stefania's like, I wonder where you left them. You're sort of absent-minded. Daniel, I don't know what he was saying. Anyways, we're talking about this for, 10 minutes before the show. How could I have possibly lost? I went two places yesterday. And then 6 months later, You're like, hey guys, I was cleaning out my office the other day, and I happened to find this shoe, but it's like 40 Diet Coke cans. Right. Just ring a bell to anybody, and I'm like.
So my office was a little messy. I'm not gonna lie. My office was a little messy.
You know, when you wear shoes every day, they do get dirty. So it wasn't
so messy, but like somehow like fallen under a chair that I never sat in or something like that. It wasn't like it's not like I'm a hoarder, but
close.
That's exactly. But
you just made reference to that live show that we had in Boston. I got to tell you, and I don't know what the future of live shows is. Obviously, a lot of things have changed during the pandemic. We haven't been able to go on the road, but we have so many memories from those live shows. Cities that we have been to include. If I'm missing some, let me know. But we've done Boston, we've done New York, we've done Philadelphia, we've done Houston, we've done Chicago, we've done Detroit, we've done Los Angeles, we've done Washington, D.C.
Baltimore.
Have done a live show. Like at least nine, maybe there might be one more that I'm forgetting in there. But we've had so much.
And we've done multiple shows in New York.
In Boston.
We did two shows in New York. We did one for Return of the Jedi, which was the Star Wars one.
Dolby Theater. We did that in New York. That was really fun.
We did like a Q&A.
Hard Rock.
So and look at we like.
Oh yeah, the Hard Rock.
And the other thing that was great about those shows, but like they would sell out immediately.
Like
within a day, yeah. And like it'd be 300-400 people in the audience, and just it was so incredible because like you do the show and you're like, hey, I think people are digging this, and you see the screen there, there's me and Stefania and Daniel at the Star Wars show, but like you're doing the show and you think like, I hope people are liking this, and we're seeing numbers on a piece of paper that say that there's a lot of people that are enjoying the show, but it isn't until you go out into a live show and you see 300-400 people shouting out jokes before you get to them, and waiting in line for an hour and a half to get a picture with you, and you're just like you're so incredibly grateful and appreciative of 06010 Nation, which is such an incredible fan base. And I'm really gonna miss a lot of things about this job, but that's a big part of it is the audience of this particular show is just like been a great audience, and I've met so many amazing people over the years that are fans of the 06010.
And we had to sort of evolve our process of the live shows over the years, because the beginning it was, hey, we're going to do a live show, and then we're going to do like a meet and greet slash photo opportunity after the shows.
Yeah.
And we're talking about audiences of like hundreds of people. It wasn't like it was 25 people crammed into one tiny room. It was sometimes we were doing them in theaters. We were doing them in venues that had, I think
it was always like 300 or 400, like sometimes 400, sometimes 350, whatever, depending on the size of the,
we'd always do them at night, and we'd always all be traveling like at 5:30 the next morning to get back home to Connecticut, because we had to get back for subsequent shows. And I always remember this, and Matthew would take as much time any person in that audience needed to speak to you. So many of them were looking for career advice. So many of them just wanted to tell you how much they enjoyed your book, your articles over the years. They wanted to share a personal story about maybe someone who had fallen on hard times and found strength in fantasy football. And you are so incredibly gracious with your time. So much so that we had to kind of refine the process, because there was one show where we were like 12 people in and we'd been there for an hour. And so going forward, from a venue standpoint and a like logistics standpoint, this has to become a little bit more efficient of a process. But it speaks to who you are, because as much as you have risen and to the top, you are the top of the fantasy football industry, I probably always have been, you've never forgotten the people that got you there. Because I always think back to, 20 years ago, whatever it was, like, you were doing call-ins to ESPN LA Radio and writing blurbs on much smaller websites. Websites that have grown tremendously over the years, but at the time, Roto World wasn't what it is now, right? And I think there's a relatability to you that I think fans all recognize, and part of what makes you special.
I appreciate that. I've always said this, and by the way, I'll have more time now. So, if you see me in the street coming up. But what I would say is that, like, I always felt like, if some person is willing to spend 45 minutes, an hour and a half in a line just to get a couple of minutes with me, who am I to say, like, no, you can't have that time. Like, I'm so flattered by that, that they, you know, you think about the whole process, right? They, you know, a lot of times, like, they either had to get out of work or they had to get a sitter for the kids or whatever. They had to come to wherever we were going. They're parking and gas, and, you know, and then there's a ticket to the show because we charged for the show. And then, you know, so there's all that, and they've gone through all that to come spend an evening with us, and then they're going to spend another 45 minutes or an hour and a half to wait in line to meet us. You know, yeah, who am I to be like, all right, thanks, let's take a quick pick, move on to next. You know, I've written about this story before. I'll try to tell it quickly. But my very first job out of college was working for George Carlin. I was George Carlin's assistant on the George Carlin Show, a Fox sitcom. And I remember one time, and I would do stuff for him, and I remember one time I had a group of friends coming to the show, and I said to George, hey, can I, whatever you need me to do after the show, can I do before the show? Because I got these friends coming in from out of town. I want to show off for them and show them around. And George is like, yeah, I just need you to do this, this, and this. I'm like, okay, great. So I do that, and I'm showing my friends around, and all of a sudden, George Carlin comes up to us. And I know that may not be a name familiar to some younger, but legendary comedian, huge. Like an iconic, his huge stuff still stands up. Go search George Carlin on YouTube and just
hilarious.
Laugh your butt off totally. For the next day. Like, he's one of the brilliant minds of all time. And so so Carlin comes up to me. Matthew, are these your friends? I'm shocked now, right? I'm like, yeah. George, this is Sean and Cindy. Sean and Cindy, George Carlin. And George gives like the big sell. Oh, we couldn't do the show without Matthew. He's going to be a big star. He's a key cog here. Understand, I get lunch, right? You know, like, I answer the phones. I deliver stuff. Like, I'm the gruntiest of the grunts on this show. I'm the lowest man on the totem pole. But George is selling it like, he's like, I consult with him every day. I do this show. Like, I could not do this without him. You know, and, you know, George, Sean and Cindy are on cloud nine. He's like, I got some signed scripts for you. And come on, let's take a photo and whole nine yards. Okay. So the next day I come to George. I'm like, George, oh my God, that was so amazing. You didn't have to do that. I can't believe it. Thank you so much for saying hi to my friends, Sean and Cindy. And he says to me something I'll never forget. I've never forgotten in my entire life. He says, first off, you're a good kid. You work your ass off. Like, you know, I'm happy to do it. He goes, most importantly, he goes, for the rest of your friend's life, the next time my name comes up, someone's going to say, oh, I met George Carlin once. He was a really nice guy. Yeah. He goes, so 30 seconds of my life for a lifetime fan, I'll make that trade every day of my life.
Totally.
And, you know, other than, oh, yeah, I met Carlin once. He wouldn't even sign an autograph for me. Yeah. So not that I am anywhere near George Carlin's, you know, fame, notoriety, whatever you want to call it. But to the extent that people know me because of their fondness for ESPN and fantasy football and my work, yes, if you know, I always, and especially on anyone that's obviously coming out in the 0601 Nation to come to one of our shows, I always want to take that time. I always try to do it, especially if a person approaches respectfully and isn't just shoving a camera in my face.
Not a kid like making you a bet when he's drunk in a college party.
That text.
Miles
right.
Sanders.
What was that with your son?
You were arguing with that drunk kid
from your.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, my son was at a frat party in Tulane and wanted some advice and asked me this guy or this guy. And so I said, hey, I'm at a party and this guy wants to know this person or this person. And so I said, I think I have this player higher. And then he's like, well, he says that he's not going to get the ball. And I'm like, why? I'm suddenly arguing with my son through some drunk guy because my son knows well enough not to give my phone number out.
Anyways.
I'm just like, what are you doing?
That's
always crazy when people ask advice.
Yeah.
And then argue with your advice. Like, I don't care, dude. It's your team.
What's the point of asking?
You ask me what I would do. This is what I would do. If you want to do something different, it's your team. Do what you do, you know?
You mentioned writing about George Carlin and the that experience specifically in the intro of Love Hate. And there's a void for all of us where, I'll be honest with you, when I read Love Hate, I'm 95% of it's about the intro and 5% because so much of what you discuss in the blurbs are things that we discuss on the show or things that come up in Fantasy Football Now or wherever elsewhere, right?
Yeah, and because we fade your analysis usually, so we just read the
also
front
fair,
top.
All
yeah.
fair,
but
all fair.
Love Hate, the intro specifically has told us so many tales over the years. Some of them have been funny, some of them have been, you know, wisdom shared, you know, has been things like you mentioned with George Carlin, how just a little small piece of your life can leave such a lasting impression on somebody. Some of them have been emotionally gut-wrenching, but also inspiring. and perhaps none more so than the story of Jack Attack, which was so poignant and so powerful that it became a piece that we featured on SportsCenter, I believe, initially, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, it was so I wrote about Jack Attack a couple of years ago, and then he came on our podcast. So he's a friend of the podcast, Jack Posnack, and then based on that, Greg Jewell, Harry Hawkins, the great Harry Hawkins, Harry Hawkins and I produced. Greg runs the entire storytelling unit here at ESPN, but Harry Hawkins and I produced a feature, an SE featured about Jack Attack.
It's an amazing
story. So wonderful.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. amazing. He's an incredible young man.
I've kept in touch with the family. I talk to them all the time. Here's a crazy thing about fantasy football and the connection. So there's a league in Virginia that saw that story, and they were so touched. The FML, they call themselves the Frickin' Man's League. And I've got to say that carefully.
You
know,
why?
That's a good point. I could just, you know, what are they going to do? Well, I still got 8 minutes left. But anyway, they dedicated their season to Jack. And so Jack has a foundation, the Jack Attack LTPF, Level of Playing Field, where he gives out video game consoles and stuff to, other kids to make them be able to do activities like, quote unquote, normal kids, just as to use Robin's phrasing. And they not only did they donate all their league fees to Jack Attack LTPF, but this past year, past COVID, and once Jack was healthy enough, the league traveled up to New York, where Jack lives, and spent the day with Jack just to cheer him up and have fun. Jack, just amazing. And that shows the connection of fantasy football. And I'm always honored to be able to shine a little bit of a light. And I'm proud that the 060 Nation has responded the way they have.
Yeah, it's one of those stories that, man, just hits you so hard mm-hmm. in so many ways. You have to be, I don't know, soulless to not feel a certain way when you watch that story of Jack, and such an inspiration and such a beautiful part of fantasy football that it's able to. And
I think
and
that's a testament his to mom, you, Matthew, Robin. Because you've always emphasized the community mm-hmm. around fantasy. Yeah. And that story, that's one angle of it, but that's the thing we hear over and over again, especially at the live shows or people when they would email us and send us messages. It's about the community that they feel a part of. And it's like an extended family from our little family here.
Yeah, I mean that's what the book Fantasy Life's all about, right? I mean, it's all about, like, fantasy football is magical, and it's more of a connection. It's more than just a game, right? I mean, like, we're talking about today's the first day of Scott Fishbowl, which again is and we've had Scott on the show, and it emphasizes that as well. Like, that's what to me fantasy means, and what I think fantasy focus means, and what I think our fans mean to me, and I know to you guys as well, to all of us. Like, it's a connection, and it's a family. And like, I consider both of you family. I consider Daniel family. I consider, you know, Not Cool Keith and Thirsty Kyle, who are on vacation this week, but those guys are family. And everyone, you know, Emmy Award winning director Lisa, she's family. Presley and Harrington, our producers, they're family. I mean, like, you know, like, so I just, you know, it's magical. That's magical. I'm starting to lose words. Anyway.
It's really, I don't know that any of us can succinctly sum up what you have meant to us, both personally and professionally. And again, we're just sort of figuring this thing out as we go through the show right now. But I suppose.
Before you get there, hang on for 1 second. I have to interrupt you one last time before we go. But I just thought, you know what? I just remember this. Yeah. Well, I just. Yeah.
Tell me more.
Nah, whatever. You're gonna miss that. You are gonna miss it at some point. You're gonna miss it at some point.
Are you kidding me?
No, but I found this in my closet. It was hanging up, and
I have one of these.
You
have one of
these too. And so what this is just because I think this goes to show community and everything like that.
Yeah.
So this was sent in by a fan, and I don't know if you guys can see it. For those that are watching, I'm holding up a T-shirt that says Fantasy 060 Focus. It's the Beverly Hills 90210 logo, but it says Fantasy Focus 060. And then it's a T-shirt, and on the T-shirt are all these phrases from the podcast over the years, even like from like the Stefania Bell, put it on the board, the name game, you know, some of our old friends, you know, like the wise and sage like Mark Harine, Diet Soderberg League, shout out to Jay Soderberg. And so just a, you know, bona fide and bona fide.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board. Anyway. So I just, I don't know. I thought that was a great example of the community that we all have built and that we are so appreciative here at Fantasy Focus that I'm going to miss dearly, dearly, dearly. And as I say, as I've said to a lot of people, as you know, people here at ESPN have found out, and I've talked to people that, and I would say this to the fans of the 0610. What I've said to people here is like, look, just be, I said this to Mike Clay yesterday when Mike and I, you know, I called Mike to let him know what was happening, and I said, Mike was like, oh, we got to make sure we get together. And I'm like, Mike, it's, I'm just not your colleague anymore. I'm still your friend, dude. We're still good friends. You're still my good friend. Yeah. So I mean, like, I would love to say, I want to say that to the 0610 Nation, even though I'm leaving the 0610. I'm still your friend. I'm still a fan. I still love you and I care about you and, you know, appreciate all your support over the years.
He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, your truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today. See all the ways that you could save with great rates and discounts. It's really easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.
All right. So I guess we should try to offer maybe a closing thought. And since you and I talked about your decision, I've had a lot of time to, I've had some time to think about what I would want to say. And, you know, I've thought about, you know, social media posts, thought about this, that, and the third, and it's like, really none of those things suffice. And I realized that what I was going to have to do, maybe what all of us are going to have to do, is not try to cover everything, because it would be impossible to cover everything, but to try to think of one thing that maybe is emblematic of the person you are and the influence you've had. And I think about my time at ESPN, and probably the most common question that I've been asked is, what is it like to work with Matthew Berry? And when I think about the fantasy industry now, I can't tell you how many podcasts I am aware of that exist in the fantasy space, and the thousands of others that I'm not presently aware of, I haven't had the chance to listen to, but I know are out there and that exist. And I think about the way in which the game has grown, the people that are playing it at the highest levels, or the, you know, newest people to fantasy football, and the generations ahead of people. And the point that I'm trying to make is that we all know so many people that are in the business of producing fantasy football content. And there are people who zig when everybody else zags. But I would say, speaking generally, when you go to look at the ranks for the preseason, you're going to find a lot of people have either Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes as their number one quarterback, and probably Jonathan Taylor as the number one running back, and Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry and other guys like that not too far behind him. A lot of times, we're saying a lot of the same things. And that's okay, because you're trying to give your best, most reliable thoughts and insight and analysis as you can. But there's one person, and only one person, that has ever been able to do it in a way that has such a strong gravitational force to it that you can't put down, whether you're reading an article, whether you're watching TV, whether you're listening here on the podcast, whether you're watching the fantasy show, whether you're on an app in this new wave we're going into. There's one person who's been able to keep someone drawn in. And I could hear 10 people tell me why Lamar Jackson is being underrated going into this year. I could listen to 100 of them. But only one person's ever going to make the mark, and that's you. And that's what makes Matthew Berry who he is as a fantasy football analyst. I'm stopping short of talking about who he is as a man. You're as great as you are as a fantasy analyst. One thing I know with 1,000% certainty is that you're 100 times better as a dad. The way that you adore your girls and your boys, and the influence that you have had on each of them. You have a blended family. You've done an amazing job in that regard. There aren't enough words, so I'm going to try to cut it off here before I go down a path that could probably last the next 5 hours. But I know that my career at ESPN isn't anywhere close to where it is now without you, and I also know that that's a sentiment that probably hundreds of people in the fantasy football, maybe thousands in the fantasy football community all share.
Thank you very much. I don't know what to say other than, my phone's blowing up.
Mine is too.
I'm sure it is. So just, I'm going to, we taped the show at 2 o'clock and we posted the announcement at 3. You're seeing this at 5 o'clock Monday or later. So it just now went live that I'm leaving ESPN. And so, Field, thank you. That means a lot. Yours is an opinion I respect. I've loved working with you. I've loved being your friend, being your co-host, working with you on the podcast, on Fantasy Football Now, when you've done the fantasy show, when we've done the marathon, when we've done drafts together, when we've done, you and I have often been paired up together. And when you are paired up with someone you don't like, that stinks. And when you're paired up with somebody that you like and respect and get along with, it just makes the days go by. And making this decision was by far the hardest decision I've ever made in my professional career. Literally, my agent was meeting with the talent office at ESPN, and we were talking 5 minutes before they would meet. And they're like, "Are you sure? Are we doing this?" You know, and I'm like, "Yes, okay, yes, I'm sure." You know what I mean? I went back and forth on this on so many times, and it's so hard. And one of the reasons why it was so hard to make this decision was because of the love and respect and enjoyment that I have from working every day with you and with Stefania and with Daniel and with Mike and everyone here at ESPN. And so specifically to you, Field, look, a host's job, and this is not to say that you aren't a great analyst because you are, but a host's job is to make the other talent around them look better and to put them in a position to succeed. And you do that every single day. And you make me better at my job. I'm insanely jealous of your social media prowess, of your hairline, of your boyish good looks, your genetics, the fact that you somehow seem to age backwards. Yeah, I don't know what to say other than I love you, man.
I love you too, man. And I'm not even going to try to respond because I'm going to start tearing up here. So I'm going to say,
I love you. I love
you. Take it away.
I love you. I love Chapin. I love your family. And I know that you and I are going to be friends for life, regardless of whether we are working for the same company or not.
Amen to that.
Matthew, I'm going to say some stuff too.
Yeah, good.
I was thinking back on the times that we've had together here with Focus and how lucky I have been to literally live out the dream of everybody listening to this podcast, being able to work with the king of the fantasy industry on a daily basis. And there have been days where I've been super frustrated with you, and there have been days where you have been super frustrated with me. And at the end of the day, one of the things that I will always hold on to is the idea that you and I, no matter what, I have always loved and I have always tried to take away from the fact that we have such a great working relationship. And on top of that, nothing that we ever did ever affected our personal friendship or our personal relationship. And when I think about, I just think about you and I, and I'm like, look at us. Who'd have thought that these two guys
yeah.
were the ones that would be able to team up and do all the stuff for the fantasy show, and the way that you took me under your wing, and to be able to watch and learn from you and watch you take constructive criticism from people and have great ideas and feel like it's okay if people add to it. And I've been able to learn from the best and watch you and see the way that you do things within your own personal life. And I'm so grateful and thankful to have been able to spend that time with you. I'm trying so hard not to cry as I say this. So I guess I'm just going to finish out with the way that you talk about George Carlin, the way that you talk about being impacted, the way that you have impacted others in the fantasy industry, the way that it's not just about this game, and you make that very clear to us, is something that I will forever hold on to in a way. I just love you a whole lot, man. I love you a whole lot, and I am so grateful
for all of the moments that you have given me that I will be able to hold on to for the rest of my life. And I love you, brother, and I always will. You've been there for some really tough times with me, and I'm going to miss you. I'm going to come give you a hug.
Right, come give me a hug, because I'm going to cry, and that'll give me an excuse to, like, come here, brother. Come here. I love you, man.
Wow.
This wasn't supposed to be this hard. This wasn't, oh my God. Daniel, you know how I feel about you. You know, you came into this podcast, by the way, in not an easy way. You know, when we started the podcast, me and Nate and Pod Vader, it was a very specific show. And then when the show transitioned and Jay left the company and Nate moved on to his role behind the scenes, you know, you were coming in and having to not just take over Jay Soderbergh, who the real Pod Vader, not only take over for his role as an on-air character, but also help develop a brand new show, you know, and find cohesiveness between me and Field and Stefania, obviously. And that's not easy. That's a real challenge. And you did it and took the show to new heights as a producer, as a talent. More than this show, just on the fantasy show, you know, remember when we were talking, I'm like, you know, and I said, you know, would you be interested in being this? Because executives noticed the fun, you know, the interplay you and I had on air for this podcast. And they said, what do you think about Daniel as the, you know, when I said, what do you think about Daniel as the, my co-host on the fantasy show? And they were on board with that. And, I don't think there's anything we've ever asked you to do on the fantasy show. And we've asked you to do a ton that you've ever said no. Everything you've said is like, yep, let's give that a go. And like, you've been half naked and covered in every possible condiment. We've, we've killed you many times.
I ate a jar of mayonnaise. Have you ever eaten mayonnaise?
Yeah, you've
like
eaten
that?
A jar of mayonnaise. So gross, you literally got a tattoo on our air. You, you played 18 billion different characters, all of which with one voice, with just one voice. He's only got old-timey prospector voice. Doesn't matter what character we put him in. He's always still an all-time prospector, the worst actor ever. And you do it all with a smile. And you made that show so much fun. You make this show so much fun. And aside from just your professional talents, which are immense, and your on-air persona, like, it's not lost on any of us that when we go to the live shows, the person that gets the loudest cheers is Daniel.
Yeah.
Secret squirrel. That's the chant we always hear from the audience. And that's not a mistake. But I think for me, what means the most to me about you and why I cherish our friendship is because you have the biggest heart of anyone I've ever met. Mm. And I can't tell you guys how many times Daniel has just reached out and said, hey, how are you doing with this? How's this going? And Daniel knew I was, that ESPN and I were having these conversations about me possibly leaving the company. And I didn't tell a lot of people about that. And I can tell the audience here that the three of you knew, and the three of you have known for a while now that this day might potentially come. And A, thank you for keeping that a secret and allowing that to be, you know, shared with the world in a way that, you know, ESPN and I decided to do so. But thank you for keeping my secret and having my back, but also support. And, you know, Daniel was like, not only like, how are you doing? Forget the business stuff, forget the professional stuff. How are you doing emotionally? You know, and how's Beth doing with this? And, you know, it's been a stressful couple of months for my wife. And, as we're going through this process. And so, I'm going to say this a million times, but I'm also going to cry. Like, I love you, Daniel. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you or for anyone on the set. And I know you're the same. Like, I'll give you a great Daniel story. This is a great Daniel story. 3 weeks ago, maybe it was a month ago, we're all leaving the show, everything like that. And I turn and you were running off because you were doing like NFL Live or something like that. So I'm talking with Daniel and Stefania in the hallway. And then so we're just saying goodbye for a little bit. We're talking about the show for a second. And then as we're waving goodbye, Daniel says, all right, well, I'll see you tomorrow at 1:00. And I look at him because the next day is Saturday. I'm like, you're going to see Saturday? I'm like, what's 1:00 tomorrow? And he's like, oh, I'm helping Stefania move. And I'm like, what? You're helping Stefania move? And to be clear, you know, I love to give Stefania as much grief as anything. That wasn't Stefania trying to cheap out on moving labor. That was Daniel saying, hey, I know you don't have as many people as you need to help you move. Let me just be a friend and come over and help you, you know, because Stefania, she's got a lot of stuff. You know, when you're as rich and famous as Stefania, she's got multiple houses to pack up. She's got all the cars. The three Britneys can only do so much. So, but like, that's Daniel. Daniel took his weekend to go help Stefania move.
Yeah.
And, you know, didn't you like build a deck or something like that? Like, you know, like I
did build a deck.
You know why I believe it? Because he did it for me too.
There you go.
You know, when I moved to Connecticut a couple years ago, I did, that is Daniel in a nutshell. Spawn, you want to bring us home?
Yes. Well,
or try, I guess. Right?
I'm gonna try. We have been together a long time.
Long time. You're my work wife.
That's right.
You are my work wife.
We are. Yes, indeed. And you know, longest original running podcast at ESPN.
Yep.
And you and I have been together for the most years on the longest original running podcast.
We have. We started together, 2007.
Whew. And it was because of...
And you don't look older. I look old as dirt. I don't know how it is. You haven't aged a day, but I, you know, what are we going to do? It's
a branding thing for you. It worked out well in your favor.
It's products. But the thing that I really want people to know, and this has come up actually at live shows. It's come up... at the FSGA, Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association meeting. When I first started dipping my toe into the fantasy sports pool, there were no women at the meeting, you know, one or two. But Matthew was larger than life. And I'm sure that's hard for you all to imagine. But Matthew was, you know, he had a presence. And you kind of knew that Matthew was leading the industry. And as I was trying to meet people and sort of basically market my services as far as a medical aspect to fantasy football, Matthew was the one I had my eye on because I thought he's really going to lead this industry forward. And when he came to ESPN, because that happened when I had started going to the FSGA.
So it was like 2000. Yeah, we met like in whatever, 05 or 06 or something like that.
Yeah, 05, I think. And then, and then when he came to ESPN, we ended up talking and Matthew said, you know, I want to bring you in. He had been tasked with building the fantasy department here. And he said, I want to bring you in for an audition. In typical Matthew fashion, didn't give me any prep or setup. So I thought for sure when I got here that I was in and out on the same day and I would never be back. But here I am 14 years later because of you. And this was a time when fantasy sports world was fairly small, right? There were a few sites. ESPN saw it. There was vision here that fantasy could grow. And they brought you in with that in mind. You were tasked with building the department and creating a fantasy team. There were no women working in fantasy sports. And I know from just the mixed reaction I got when I initially was putting myself out there as somebody who was interested in doing it, I played fantasy, that not everybody was receptive. But Matthew wasn't only receptive, he took it and made it his business to be a champion for me and said, we need representation. We need to have a woman here who is speaking about fantasy football and speaking hopefully intelligently about whatever else it is she's bringing to the table. But that I don't know if you'll ever understand how much that meant. And dang it, I thought I was going to get through this. But all you have to do is go to a meeting now like I did and look around and see all the women in the room, which is still, there still need to be more.
Yes.
But there are so many more than just me who people thought I was, you know, an assistant to my friend who had brought me to the meeting as opposed to somebody who was there on her own. But also just in the space of fantasy football, playing fantasy football, writing for other websites, people who are doing videos now, you know, because the fantasy world has expanded so much. There are other kinds of opportunities in the digital space, but I can't tell you how many women come up to me when we do the live shows and say, you know, because you sit there with the guys, I felt comfortable joining a league.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm here to tell you that yes, I'm the woman, but that doesn't happen if you don't create the opportunity.
Well,
and I'll be forever grateful for that. And so I just want everyone else. I know you know because I've told you before, but I want everyone to know that Matthew Berry has been one of the biggest supporters of women in this space, and maybe the biggest, certainly that I've met, and has always risen to defend my ability to be here and justification, knowing her stuff, you know, best in the business, whatever it is you say, you always lift me up.
Well, it's easy to say because it's the truth. I mean, so first off there, I mean, I appreciate, you know, I mean, you know, I jokingly call you my work wife, but you are legit my work wife. I mean, you know, like I, you know, you are, in addition to being just one of my closest friends in general, like, you know, you know, I check with you on so many things other than fashion. Field replaced you there. Field is my fashion spirit animal. I'm sorry. Stefan, you got very offended one day when her and Field were like sitting next to each other and I came out with like a suit and like two different ties.
I remember that.
And I said, hey, which one? And I turned to Field instead of Stefania, and she got all offended.
Talk to you.
You know, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, but Field's my spirit animal when it comes to fashion. And,
yeah, but who texts me on Sunday to say, is Matthew wearing the right shoes? That's right. Your wife.
My wife,
so
right.
She clearly approves of my
This is very true.
Dress.
Factually correct. sometimes your wife texts you more than she texts me.
you just called her my wife.
She is your wife, basically. I'm the third wheel. But first off, just specifically to you, I appreciate that. Like, look, you made me look good. Like, I met you and I'm like, wait a minute. So here's this person who's incredibly smart about sports medicine, who's actually worked on professional athletes as a physical therapist, who's done all this incredible research. Oh, by the way, is well-spoken and is a hardcore fantasy player. That's a home run. Mm-hmm. Like, you're an easy sell. Like, it wasn't like, okay, hear me out. You just got to see the big picture. Like, to me, it was like, this is a home run. And hey, ESPN, as you're bringing me in to expand our fantasy coverage, you should also take a look at this woman that I met named Stefania Bell to do injuries. And at that time, there wasn't, you know, there was like Rick Wilton, you know, shout out to Rick Wilton, who had done some stuff for Baseball HQ, but there hadn't really been anyone that had done, Rick Wilton was sort of like, would, after an injury was reported, he would sort of talk about what it was. But in terms of actually diagnosing injuries, in terms of sort of finding stuff out, what Stefania did here was create her own role, because we didn't have a job. The reason I didn't prep you is because I didn't know what to prep you for, because we were making it up as we were going along. Like, we just thought injuries are important in fantasy. Here's someone that can speak both injuries and fantasy. Yeah. That's a home run. And listen, the fact that you were/are a woman is great, because I do think that's important to have a diverse array of voices, and we need more women in fantasy. We need more women in prominent roles. But that was like the least consideration. Like, for me, it was just the fact that you had this knowledge base, and you know, you clearly had a personality, and like, I think she'll be good on air, and you can speak sort of both languages. Like, you understand a lot of complex stuff medical wise, and you translate it for us here in the fan, for us dummies, for people like me, you know. For those of us that have like mild concussions, you know, like, and yes. You know, and,
let's get it out now.
One more time.
One
last time.
One last
time. Yeah. Slide it in. And so and you know, and you've thrived, and you're a fantasy sports Hall of Famer, deservedly so. Yeah. And so it's been awesome, because you have made my career look, you've made me look good by being here, by, you know, me recommending you, and you coming in and crushing the way you have has obviously reflected well on me. And also just having you sit next to me for all these years and our on-air interplay, and like, you never let me get away with anything, which is fun. And I love it. And I love that you give me grief, and you know, and you take it, you're a great sport, and you have a great sense of humor, and you deal with me perfectly, and you've been a great sport on the fantasy show as well, when we've got guys in leopard skin, you know, outfits behind you. We've got your minions dancing around, and you know, in pantsuits and everything like that. And just that, and I'll just say, on a personal level, obviously, you know, you and I have shared a lot of, like, you know, highs and lows in terms of dark moments. You've been there at some of the toughest moments of my life. You've become insanely close with my wife. You've become one of my wife's best friends. I'm sort of jealous of both of you. I'm off in the third wheel, but you know, it means so much to me about how close you've become to my family and vice versa, and you know how much I care about your parents and your brother, and so it's you know, as I say to all of you, like, it's, this is goodbye professionally, but obviously not personally. Like, we'll continue to be friends, and who knows, maybe look, I'm hopeful that, you know, I feel like I'm so appreciative of ESPN to let me, you know, leave the way I am, to let me have a last show like this. And the release they just sent out is lovely about me and super kind. And, you know, as I've said this a million times, I'm leaving here with hugs and handshakes. And so who knows? Maybe I'll get to come back one day. Maybe I'll get to do a guest spot or something like that. Maybe you guys let me pop in or something like that and say hello. So I hope that's the case. But if it's not, you know, Stefania, you mean the world to me. You know this. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you. Honestly, there's nothing I wouldn't do for any of you guys. Like, you guys are legit. You're my family. You're my family. Like, and just like any family, sometimes we bicker. But honestly, like, it doesn't. Like, I love you guys, and you guys are the reason. You guys are the reason that this decision was so tough. Not to say that there are other parts of ESPN that, you guys know what I mean. Just the thing that I am going to, it's very, very tough to leave a place like ESPN, especially after you've been here for 15 years. But the thing that I'm going to miss the most, how about that? The thing that I'm going to miss the most about ESPN is the people and getting to do this show with you guys and the fantasy show with Daniel and Fantasy Football Now with you guys and Mike Clay and Damian, Woody, and, you know, the whole cast and crew over there. And so that's going to be the toughest part about all this for me.
I don't even know what kind of words to try to come up with right now to put a pin in this. I sort of feel like we're at the Academy Awards right now.
I know, it's sort of wrapping up. Well, I'll say this. I'll wrap it up, I guess, if you want.
Yeah. I don't know what to say.
First off, I want to, let me see if I can find a
great chance.
Well, I want to make sure I don't forget. I want to thank a few people, and I want to, for here on the Fantasy Focus, I just want to thank very quickly, Not Cool Keith, Thirsty Kyle, Jackson DiGello, who does all of our social clips. But going back in the day, you know, Gabe Bassane, Tarika. We saw Tarika in the
Tarika
clip.
Tarika Foster.
We love Tarika. Kenny Legan, Sid Wong, Jonathan Luna. Thomas Ruggia. And, of course, Lisa Camarada and David Presley. Matt Harrington as well. Haley Burns. So, and if I forget everyone, it's Damien's fault, not mine. I'm all emotional. Because this is my last appearance, I'm just going to thank Ed Eck, DJ Gallo, Dennis Reno, John Zupan, Kevin Pulsifer, Tatiana Smallwood, and Becky and Alex, our directors. I'm not going to embarrass them by mispronouncing their last name. Lexa as well. You know, whatever. Caitlin Kravick and Mitchell Clements and Dave Arnold and all the people that have worked on the Fantasy Show over the years. Yeah. Apologies to everyone that I forget. And, you know, anyway, Matt Harrington, Mike Clay, Kevin Pulsifer, Javi, our director on Fantasy Football Now, Woody and, you know, Damian Woody and all of our reporters. And I don't know. I've gone through every emotion. This is... I've said this before. I am so excited about the future, but I'm so sad to be leaving this place, which is my family and my home. I am so proud of what we all have built together. I am incredibly proud of the fact that, you know, I feel like I have, I always say this, like I've tried, fantasy football has been so good to me, right? I mean, like, without fantasy football, I don't get to ESPN. And if without ESPN, I don't meet my wife and I don't have my family and I don't have a career. And no one, and without ESPN, no one cares what I'm saying on this podcast right now. And so my goal is always to try to leave fantasy football better than I've left it, and better than I found it, right? And try to improve it. And I feel like I've done that here, and hearing, you know, what I've meant to each of your careers means so much to me. You know, I feel like I've done a good job there. And I feel like, you know, because I know that's how I feel about you guys. Each of you have made me better. I'm a better analyst and talent and person because I know all of you and because I've spent time with you on air and off air. And I love you so much. And I love the, you know, just everyone here at ESPN and, you know, Pierre McKay, became an American citizen today. God bless Pierre. And he's him and Keith have edited every single Love Hate for, you know, God bless them, because that's not easy. A lot of hours. Big and job. Tom Carpenter and Thirsty Kyle and Scott Clark, who oversees this, you know, All Biz, and Pete G oversees podcasts and greatest fellow Parrot Head. I'm forgetting a million people, I'm sure. I apologize. It's been an amazing run. I'm so grateful and thrilled. And thank you again to the 0601 Nation, who never fails to make me smile or come up with dumb stuff. Or like the I don't know if you guys can see this, but there's like a little stuffed Matthew Berry. There you go. Little stuffed Matthew Berry there, that came from a fan. The fans have been so great. And I just, this is not goodbye. It is see you later. Anyway, I love you all. So I guess
one last time
for the very last time for Daniel, for Field, for Stefania, for Mike Clay, Thirsty Kyle, Not Cool Keith, Damon Dabrowski. I'm Matthew Berry. Peace out.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Hainsworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, bordering away again in Matthew Berryville, searching for a Field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.